We've been in a series entitled The Fruit of the Spirit. We have walked through all nine attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. This morning we're going to talk about it is time. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." A man bought a home, and in the backyard of the home was a tree, and it didn't look any different than any other tree. It was wintertime, and sure enough, spring came, and on that tree began to sprout these beautiful pink flowers. And the man and his family thought, "Man, this is awesome. Look at this tree. We're going to get to enjoy this all summer." Well, a week or two came, and the winds blew, and all the petals fell off and made a mess of the entire backyard. And the man was like, "What a waste. You know, what a bummer." Well, a few weeks went by, and then he noticed that this tree was growing these green fruits, kind of the size of a large nut, and He was intrigued by this, and so he went over a little reluctantly and took one and bit into it, and it was like, "Oh, this is terrible!" And it was bitter and it was disgusting. He thought, "What a waste of a tree! I'm just going to cut this thing down and get rid of it." Well, things got busy, and one thing led to another, and so it hadn't happened yet. And then summer came and went, and late fall, that tree began to produce crisp red apples. Now, the tree brought that fruit only after a season of growth required to bear the fruit that the tree was created to bear. And when it wasn't the right time, the tree appeared to be a waste, but in the right time, it produced the fruit that God made it to produce. Now, we as Christians have been made in the image of God to bear fruit. We've spent the last 9 weeks looking at what does that look like? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, et cetera, et cetera. What does this look like when we decide Christ is going to live through me and I am going to bear the fruit of being His child? But every one of us must make a decision to bear that fruit. We can know what the fruit looks like. We can understand that it's not something we can bear in and of ourselves, that the Spirit of God has to bear it through us, but we all must personally make the decision to bear that fruit. And I want to challenge us this morning as a class that now is the time that we've studied the Spirit, we've studied the fruits of the Spirit. We know the only way to produce it is by His Spirit, and we must decide now is the time. I personally, our family, we're going to walk in the Spirit of God. And when we make that decision, we see, first of all, that it is a time for rejoicing. When we choose to walk in the Spirit of God, it is a decision that brings great joy to our life. Isn't Satan funny the way he works? Satan wants us to think that if we choose to walk in the Spirit, it's going to be so restricting. It's going to be so radically different. Everybody's going to be having fun, and we're going to be home reading our Bible and praying, never able to do anything, and it's just going to be terrible. Can I tell you, friend, there is no life like the Christian life. You don't have to remember what you told people. You don't have to remember what lie or story you're involved in. You don't have to try to cover up where you were Friday night. If you just live the Spirit-filled life, it's awesome. It's incredible. There's nothing like it. You get to go home to the same beautiful wife every night. God, if He blesses you with kids, man, you get to have family time. And I mean, there's so many wonderful things about living the Spirit-filled life, but you have to make that decision. And when you do, it certainly is reason for rejoicing. Rejoicing in what? First of all, rejoicing in our salvation. The very fact that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior and heaven is our home. And that is something that you and I can rejoice about right now. We have not yet experienced it. As far as I know, everyone in the room this morning is alive. As far as I know. Some of you, I'm not sure. But we're all alive, so this is something we believe by faith, right? We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. God's Word teaches us the result of that is a daily relationship with Him and an eternal home in heaven. But that's not been experienced yet until the Lord comes or until we pass from this life into that life. But we can rejoice in the fact that we have placed our faith and trust in Christ. We do know Him as our Savior. The psalmist said in chapter 13 and verse 5, "But I have trusted in Thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation." Can I encourage you this morning, friend? Rejoice in your salvation. If you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you know heaven is your home, surely you would agree with me this morning that none of us deserve that, that it is unmerited favor. It is a gift from God. It is by His grace. Let's rejoice with that. And when we're tempted this week to be down and discouraged and how terrible everything is and how much better everything could be, let's just rise above that and remember that if Gabriel got what he deserved, I'd spend an eternity in hell. But God in His love sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, Father, I will go. And He was born of a virgin in a manger and lived a perfect life. And at the end of His life, He died on the cross and shed His blood, not having to, but choosing to, so that I could be saved. I have a lot to be thankful for. Let's rejoice in our salvation, but let's rejoice in our security. Did you know, in the initial construction of the Golden Gate Bridge, there were no safety devices that were used. And as a result of that, as they were building the Golden Gate Bridge, 23 men fell to their death. It was only in the final stage of the project that a large net was erected under the job site to provide safety for the men. And in fact, during that segment of the project, over 10 men fell in that net, and yet their life was saved as a result. And they found that 25% more work was accomplished after the net was installed than before. Why? Well, because the men felt safe that I could work without fear, because if I fall, at least the net will catch me. Can I encourage you? The Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when you and I put our faith and trust in Christ, John 5:13 tells us that we may know that we have eternal life and that we are secure in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And what freedom that brings. That we're not trying to bear this fruit so that we can go to heaven. We're not trying to do right so that we can earn the favor of God. Friend, God loves you the way you are. He gave His Son to die for you. You have all the freedom in the world to live for God. So can I challenge you this morning? Put your heart into it. Be passionate about it. Rejoice in the fact that you have a relationship with God, and let that be made known wherever you go. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. We are sealed by the Spirit of God. What rejoicing. You know, when we make this decision, secondly, it's a time for refreshing. The Bible says in Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come. Where do these come from, Gabe? From the presence of the Lord. Could you use some refreshing in your life? Do you feel like your life is a little chaotic? Do you feel like there's a lot going on? Do you feel like every morning when you look at the calendar, you just get tired? You're just trying to figure out, how are we going to get all this done, and how are we going to get from point A to point B, and then illness on top of it, or sports or schedules or this or that. And man, there's so much, and we're trying to manage and deal with it all, and we just could use some refreshment. You know what brings that refreshment to a child of God? Just spending time in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just spending time with Him. It brings such great refreshment. We see letter A, that it refreshes us by the comfort of the Spirit. That we can be refreshed by the comfort that the Spirit of God brings. John 14, the Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, who in the world cannot receive, but it seemeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God indwells you, and His indwelling can bring great comfort to your everyday life. Listen, God's Spirit has the power to bind the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty in a life, and nothing can compare to the comfort that the Spirit of God can bring. It's true that in life we're going to face challenges. We're going to face difficulties. There's going to be some things, quite frankly, we won't understand. Thursday, we laid to rest Jonathan Tanner, age 29. His wife, Jessie, a widow in her late 20s. Two boys, 1 and 3, and a baby in the womb. I don't understand that in its entirety. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me from my seat. But I don't have the view that God has. But I can tell you this. On Thursday, I had a front row seat to the comfort of the Spirit of God. And I watched a lady exhibit grace in an unbelievable way as she placed her husband's body in the ground. And I thought, she must have an incredible relationship with Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the relationship God wants all of us to have. And when we have it, the refreshment that comes by the comfort that only the Spirit of God can bring, but also we're refreshed by the guidance of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will guide you and I, John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He will teach you all things, and he guides us to truth. And of course, we know his truth is in his word, John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And I want to encourage your class, and we talk about it often, but to have daily time in the Word of God. Why? Because when we are in the Word of God, it brings comfort to our heart and life, but it brings guidance to our life as well. It helps us to see where we should go, and we're refreshed by the guidance of the Spirit. So let's decide now. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want these attributes we've been studying to be on display in our life. And if we do, boy, there's rejoicing in the relationship that we have. There's refreshing in the daily relationship with the Spirit of God. But it also, thirdly, is a time for reviving. You see, many Christians believe in God, but they're not experiencing Him personally. In our His Design class, we have a passion not just to know God, but for us to be experiencing that relationship each and every day, to be revived by Him, to be awakened to His presence continually. And I believe that begins, letter A, with a personal revival. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And if we're going to make the decision to walk in the Spirit, to display these attributes that we've been learning about, it's got to begin personally. There has to be the personal decision that says, I want to dedicate my life to sowing the seeds of righteousness. The passage obviously communicates to you and I an option. There are people who sow to the flesh and people who sow to the Spirit. So what do we learn from that? Everyone in this room is sowing. The question is, where? As you study your life the last 7 days, are you sowing to the Spirit or are you sowing to the flesh? Is the investment of your time, your energy, your talent, your resources, is it being invested in the things of the Lord or in the things of the world? And God is challenging us in His Word not to be deceived, that God is not mocked. It's not like God doesn't know. God knows everything. And God's not going to force any one of us in this room to make a decision in His favor, but He's well aware of the decisions we're making. And He's encouraging you and I in His Word to make this personal and to make a decision. I am going to sow seeds of righteousness. I have but one life to live. I will never get today, Sunday, March the 24th of 2019 back, ever. I will never get it back. I have this moment to live today for the Lord. And tomorrow, if He tarries, is coming the same. But every decision must be preceded, every moment or day must be preceded by a decision. How am I going to live? That's what I want our class to be challenged with this morning. How are we going to live this week? Let's not just go into life and, well, what comes, comes. Let whatever happen, happen, and we'll just go for the flow. No, live life on purpose. Get up every morning and make a decision. Today is going to be live for the Lord. I want to invest in the things of eternity. I want my life spent pleasing Christ. It's a personal revival. It's awakened to Him on a personal level. One grain of corn grows to be a stalk of corn. And approximately, there are 7 ears of corn on a stalk of corn. there are approximately 1,000 grains of corn on an ear of corn. What does that mean? It means you can plant 1 grain of corn and you can produce 7,000 grains of corn from 1 grain. Now, that's incredible. And when we think about our life, it's one life. But when it is lived in the power of the Spirit of God, it is hard to understand the potential impact it could have. Friend, we don't have time to waste spending our life on stuff that doesn't matter. May you and I this morning say, man, we've been learning about being alive in Christ and being filled with the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to make a decision not to live in my own power, but to live in the power of the Spirit of God. And I don't want my one life, my one grain, to be a meaningless investment. I want it to be something that only can be explained by God. And may you and I live with that determination this week in the home, in the workplace, and in everything our life may touch. It's a personal revival. And I believe when you have that, letter B, you're going to have family revival. Once you have that on the personal level, then you see it on the family level. You say, man, Gabe, our marriage needs this, and our kids need this, and our family situation is this. Listen, friend, you and I could sit down and talk about it, and we may not be able to figure out exactly how to fix it all, but I can tell you one thing right now that will always help when you're experiencing personal revival. When you have made the personal decision, I am going to live filled with the Spirit of God, according to His power working in me, I'm telling you, that's going to help your marriage. It's going to help your family. Everyone you relate with, it'll benefit when we've made that decision. And I want to warn you that the best way to squelch revival in your family is to live a life filled with yourself. And may you and I be careful and cautious this morning. Lord, help me not to live a life filled with me. You cannot study the life of Christ very long without discovering it wasn't about Him, His wants, His needs. He truly lived for others. And when we walk in the steps of Christ, when we follow His pattern and example, when our life is lived for others by the power of the Spirit of God, boy, it benefits our family life. And we want to be careful not just to be living for ourselves. And then I believe when you see it on a personal level and a family level, we'll actually see it on a church level. It brings a church revival. You know what Lancaster Baptist Church needs? People living in the power of the Spirit of God. You know what our His Design class needs? Spirit-filled class members. That's what we need. And when we make that decision personally, and when that's the reality of what's in our homes, then Sunday is simply the overflow of that. We gather together and we just rejoice with what God is doing. And it's not all a bed of roses, and sometimes there's trials, but we know that God is in it. One day a lady approached Billy Sunday and said, "Why do you keep having revivals when they don't last?" He looked at the lady and he said, "Why do you keep taking baths?" You know what we need as a class? We need continual cleansing from this world and a rededication to the things of the Lord. But it's got to start on a personal level. Am I willing to decide it's time? I want to live the Spirit-filled life according to the power of the Spirit of God. When I do, there's a lot to rejoice about. Oh, what refreshment it brings. But I'm telling you, there's a reviving. There's an awakening to the things of God. And it begins on a personal level, and then it continues into family, and it continues into our ministry, and it continues to every facet to nook and cranny of our life when we before the Lord have committed to live a Spirit-filled life. And I hope that as we take this series of all of these attributes, that today we'll make it personal and we will decide. It's time. I need to make that decision for me.